No, no, no. She's not a medical doctor, but she can sure cure your tax problems or your financial woes. She's the how-to girl. It's the Dr. Friday Show. If you have a question for Dr. Friday, call her now. 737-WWTN. That's 737-9986. So here's your host, financial counselor and tax consultant, Dr. Friday.
G'day, I'm Dr. Friday, and the doctor is in the house. We are here, hopefully going to get some fun. The weather outside is so nice, but it is tax season, so we need to talk about some of the changes that are in play and also any questions that you might have concerning taxes and the issues that we might be dealing with in doing our taxes. Do not forget that if you are a small business owner, you also have your franchise excise, your business tax, and your annual reports that are going to be changing. So you need to make sure that you have all of that in play so that you don't get a late notice, because many of those are due April 1st, which is just around the corner. So just making sure that you've got everything that you need, because a lot of times I know people will call me and say, oh, I just got a notice. Business tax wasn't filed. I thought you filed it. Well, business tax is only a state tax. We don't deal with that in our office unless you do our monthly bookkeeping service. Then the bookkeepers will usually handle that. Annual reports, again, are not really part of bookkeeping or taxes. So it's just a licensing renewal for your charter every single year. But you need to make sure that you either have your person, that whoever's dealing with it is there, or that you understand what the choices are so you don't get those love letters that say, and most of the time I'm getting them when they change. It's changing when they change, when they try to get a mortgage or renew a line of credit or something like that. Then they get these notices saying that you're not in good standing. That's never a good time to have that situation. So we just want to make sure that we're dealing with what we need to deal with and that we don't end up with that kind of situation. You can join the show if you want. We're live, 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number here in the studio. So you can join us if you want. Ask your questions, or at least I'll try my best to give you the best answer. Just remember that anytime on this show, we're doing our best to take a situation in a small situation and try to give you an answer. But always double check your information with your tax professional or attorney, because we're not attorneys, to just make sure that the information applies directly to you. So I'll do my best to help you, at least leave you in the right direction. But sometimes you need to get an expert in itself, because I can't ask you everything. I don't want everything on the radio that tells you to get you the exact same situation. But if you need help with anything, join the show, 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 will take place, where we're going to be doing and going from there. So there has been, obviously, we get new numbers as far as inflation and all of those. So many of you, the marginal rate for 2024, the top rate is still going to be 37% for any of you, the income above $609,350. Or if you're married, $731,200. Yes, you heard that, marriage penalty again. A single person, $609,000. Married couple, $731,000. Doesn't quite seem fair. But that's the top bracket. But the more important brackets are usually the ones that kind of fall within the 22 to 24. And that would be a single individual hits the 22% bracket at $47,150. And a married couple makes it at $94,300. You take your standard deduction, deduct that, and then that's where your tax bracket is. So again, making sure you understand, because if the reason the numbers are so important is if you're doing conversions or you're thinking about selling a piece of real estate, if it's going to kick you into a different bracket, if you go out of the 12%, theoretically the 15% tax bracket, capital gains tax kicks in. And if you go into the 24%, you end up with the Medicare, the 3.8 investment tax that gets added to the capital gains rates. And then, of course, when you're up in the 35% or close to the 37, then you start getting into the highest tax bracket for capital gains plus the investment tax. All these numbers come in and they're so important. All right, we've got Rosie in Nashville. We're going to have her join the show. Hey, Rosie.
Hey, Dr. Friday. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I saw you on Hank's show. He should have let you do more talking, but I won't go there.
He always hogs the show, but that's all right. I try to bring a little sense of humor, but you know, he always hogs that show. But anyhow.
I saw you flipping your papers like, this is what we didn't get to because you were talking so much. And I caught that flip, but anyway, so question. We've already done our taxes, got a refund for 2023. Okay. And my husband received some inheritance. Is it too late to do a custodial transfer to his and my Roth IRA for 2023?
You're not too late because you have until April 15th to do that. Even if you filed, you might want to amend the return, but it really have a zero effect on the return as long as you qualify.
Yeah, we do qualify. That's what my question is. I looked on the IRS.gov to see if I need to report it on the return, and it didn't look like I did, but I think I do. I mean, I've done that in the past.
There is a place. I mean, we always report them. It doesn't show up on the basic 1040. I want to say, and I think it's an 8606, but it's going to report on a back form that just shows that you took it, because obviously if you make too much money in some cases, but you've already checked that out. So, I mean, why not? If you can put it in a Roth and you qualify and you've got the ability to pay it, why not maximize that account and let it grow tax-free?
Yeah. Is it okay if we amend it? Is it a half?
I would just do it a 1040X. It's going to be a zero change. So under the explanation, you're going to put contributed before April 15th to Roth IRA for the tax year of 2023. And you may repeat that for husband and wife. That's all you're going to send in. And then you would attach behind the 1040X, basically the form. And again, I'm not sure of the form number, but you attach, if you go in, you can, if you use an online system, you should automatically get the form as well. So
yeah,
1040X plus.
File.
One more time.
We did the direct file through IRS, the free one.
Okay, like, but you were able to prop. Well, you won't be able to do a free one on that one, but you could download the 1040X. I mean, go to the IRS website, download it. And let's see, I think it's the 8606 reporting. I'm checking it out myself. Roth. I mean, again, this is really not going to be a big deal. And when your company that you use, be it whatever company that you do your Roth, yes, non-deductible IRA on form 8606. So you're going to have a 1040X, an 8606 for you, and one for your husband, all of that put in a package, and you can just mail that out. It's really just the paper.
That's what I was going to ask you. Can I mail it? Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you so
yeah,
much.
You can mail it. Okay?
Cool. Thank you so much for your help.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, sweetheart. All right. And we are on the Dr. Friday Show. If you've got questions, that's a great one, actually. We don't, sometimes we don't think about that until after the case. And I hate to say it, but a lot of tax people, I'm not a financial planner, but obviously I like Roth IRAs because sooner or later we're going to all hit retirement. And it'd be nice to have money we can take out without having to pay tax on if you're 59 and a half or 5 years, depending on which is longer, but you're going to take it from there and do what you need to do on that situation. So I think it's always good if you can maximize it, but it doesn't really, most tax people were selling standard IRAs because we're looking for that instant gratification. But we, you know, either way, whatever works best, but always, you know, again, if you're in a certain situation, you may want to talk to a financial planner because they can talk about, you know, backdoor IRAs. They can talk about, is a traditional IRA good for you? Should you be maximizing something else? Would you qualify? All of those are important questions because sometimes you make too much money to qualify. But also if you're in the lower tax bracket, if you're in that 12% tax bracket, you can actually get a savers credit by contributing to a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, or even to a 401k. So, you know, again, if you have, I think it's kind of a cool thing. If you have a young person and instead of maybe giving them Christmas presents and birthday presents and all that, maybe give them money to put into a retirement fund. I know that's exciting, right? I'm sure the kids are going to love it, but if they're working and they've got earnings, theoretically you could gift them $6,000 a year, and that money could go into a Roth IRA. When they file their taxes, they're going to get the savers credit. Plus, they're going to have a lifetime of growing tax-free. Again, back that up with a good financial planner, but that is a direction you might want to think about going. All right, real quick, let's hit Lynn before the break, and that way she doesn't have to wait for it. Hey, Lynn, what's happening?
Hey, Dr. Friday. Just had a quick question about a little over 2 years ago, bought a piece of property out of state. Just a house, old house, and didn't really do anything to it, didn't rent it or anything, but turned around and sold it late last year. And I actually made $22,000 on it. Since it really wasn't, I guess it's an investment. I was going to just do a Schedule D. I do my own taxes. I was going to do a Schedule D and put it in that, but it don't look right for some reason. Is that the tough way to do it?
It is. You're 100% correct. Okay. Did you get a 1099-S?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So you're going to run it through the Schedule D under the form, and then you're going to put in there the closing cost fees, the property tax, anything you've had to pay theoretically into the cost basis, even, you know, so then you'd show capital gains long-term, $22,000 or whatever that is. But you got to list the property. You're going to list the date you purchased, the date you sold, the purchase price, the sale price, and any cost that went into it. And that's perfect, 100%.
Okay, it looks just for stock. I haven't normally done that on this software. It just didn't look right. Like that's for stock, when to sell, but there should be a place to put the 1099-S and then put that in,
should
right?
Be. Exactly. Okay. There should be, at least in our software, yes, it will lead or fall back to the 1099. To the Schedule D, but yes, there should be a place in your system to put the actual 1099-S.
But the key is it should be on the D. I should look at my D and it should be on there, right?
You should be looking at your D. Yep, 100%.
Thank you very much.
No problem. All right, we're going to get ready here to take a quick break. And when you come back, you can join us live. Any question, we're trying to help out. If people are doing their own taxes, hey, why not get a little help and make sure it's in the right place? Because there's nothing worse than getting a love letter or thinking that you have it and then, oh my gosh, it's all wrong. And the tax software is usually, especially with those kind of situations, you can do it. But if you need help, obviously, you can join the show at 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number here in the studio. So we can help you if maybe you've inherited some property and you're not too sure how that's going to report or if it's even taxable. And then also there's many times people will rush to file their taxes and you did inherit. And then people like me are still working on those tax returns and there's a K-1 and then you'll have to do an amendment. So just make sure you have the information. We'll be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. All righty, we are back live here in studio. And if you've got a question, join us here. It's a beautiful day outside. I know you're probably out there, but if maybe you're driving around going from store to store and you've got a question because you're working on your taxes, or maybe you know someone that has had some tax issues, because even though we do taxes, I'm an enrolled agent licensed by the Internal Revenue Service to do taxes and representation, which means I do not represent the IRS. I represent taxpayers like you. So if you're getting love letters or you know someone that hasn't filed taxes in a number of years, then you might want to give us a call. See if we can't help you out. We are truly local. We don't just say that. We are actually here in Brentwood. It's the only office location we have. So if you're looking for someone that might be able to help you, 615-367-0819 is the office number. More importantly, if you've got a question, maybe you have someone that you are, you know, just met, or maybe you're thinking about getting married and the person that you're marrying hasn't filed taxes. We had a situation, we've actually had a couple of them, but recently we had a couple come in and they were on the, they had just gotten married and found out that she hadn't filed taxes in a number of years. And I will tell you this, why not have that conversation before marriage? I mean, it just seems like if you're going to be merging your life at some point, you'd want to kind of know the financial situation. Do you have student loans? Do you pay off your credit cards every month? Or do you have $20,000 in credit card debt? You know, what bills do you owe and what bills do you not? Do you have a car payment? What's your insurance rating? Because it's based on your credit score, right? These seem like they would be questions that people ask, but apparently we get married and ask those questions after, at least this couple, and they seem to be great. They're well matched, it seems like, at least on other things. But we had to go back and deal with some tax issues, and I think we'll get it resolved relatively easily. And in some cases, she didn't actually owe, even though she had it filed, but she then became self-employed, which means she owes for a few years as well. Those will get resolved, and life will be back on track. All of that being said, it's important to understand that if you don't file taxes, it's really hard to get things you might want. Maybe if you want to buy a house, or maybe you have children and they're going to go to college, right? And then you got to go through FAFSA. FAFSA requires tax returns. So if you're looking to get back on track, it doesn't mean if you haven't filed taxes in 20 years, we can help you get your tax documents. We can help you get organized. We can help you figure out how to move forward. It's not as complicated as you might think it is. And so, in some cases, it could be file the taxes, do a simple fresh start and get you back on track. It could be more complicated that maybe you own a house or have 401ks or, you know, multiple situations. And it may mean that it's more of a negotiation than a simple fresh start. Doesn't make a difference. We can help you either way. And if you've got a question, maybe you know someone, then you can join the show. 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986. It's not as easy as you think to pick up the phone and call a radio show. I know that. I've been doing this now 15 plus years, and it always shocks me, and a pleasant shocking, that so many of you guys do take the time to call the show, because a lot of times people listen, they come in this to the office and they'll say, yeah, I heard this person ask this question. It was just what I needed to hear, but they weren't in a position to call. So it's always appreciated if you want to call and ask a question. We do have many people that are dealing with different situations. For any of you that are maybe self-employed and you're looking at what we have available in 2023, possibly for depreciation, we were hoping or still waiting. Many of my clients have actually filed an extension because bonus depreciation isn't as high as we would like it. And there's a bill that's still waiting to see if it is going to actually get approved. So you may not be getting 100%, or you're not. If you file your taxes right now, you will not get 100% of it. And so it's going to really possibly make it where you actually owe more money than you might have thought. It did get extended, but we didn't get 100% with the extension. So again, if you are a person that has a lot of vehicles or trucks or things like that, that we usually are able to take 100% of bonus depreciation, there is a train of thought that estimate your taxes, go ahead and pay in what may be qualified, because there's no guarantee that it's going to go there, and then go into the next phase, which is an extension, and then wait and see if they actually do go through and increase the depreciation, because right now it's extended. It's supposed to phase out in 2026. But as we know, every year it drops down more and more and more. So at this point, we're at a point where it's not 100%. So if we need to deal something like that, then we'll be good. But again, if you're self-employed, you might want to talk to your tax person. I know I'm working on a one now, and this is a difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment deduction that we can't take if it's not extended, which means the difference of these people paying a lot more money in taxes than what we've had to pay in the past, because every year they have to upgrade their equipment. So if you've got questions on that, or maybe you've got questions concerning other tax issues, one of the biggest things we deal with at this time of the year again is usually inheritance. Someone inherited a house, but if you inherited that house, let's say you inherited 2 years ago, and now you finally sold it, you may end up with additional capital gains. It's a possibility. So you can't just say, well, I inherited, so it's a complete tax deduction, because it may not be. Also, I have found that we've had more than one case where somebody has gotten and sold a house, and they think if they reinvest the money on that house that they will not have to pay taxes. That tax law ended a long time ago, guys. We do not work on the reinvestment unless you're dealing with a 1031 exchange. Under that circumstance, the answer is yes. But if it is not, then you have to deal with the fact that you have capital gains. And it's that simple. So you want to make sure that you're reporting all that. I've got a case where back in 2020, apparently there was a 1031. We reported it, but it looks like maybe it was reported twice to the IRS. So we ended up with a double closing, and now the IRS is looking for, $60,000, because they're saying, well, there's capital gains, but there isn't. But these are the kinds of letters you'll get, and it's hard to understand sometimes why the IRS, but in this case, we're finding out that they actually had two closing documents submitted for the same house. And so it created a double entry. So the IRS, you'd think they could look at the address and see that the same house was on both closings, but the IRS is looking at the 1099-S's and all they care about is that it's reported twice. And so they're saying, nope, this person sold that house twice for the same dollar amount. And, you know, obviously it didn't happen, but this is a 2020 issue and they're getting aggressive in collections because we just found out about it. So we maybe found out a little in February. Anyhow, so if you've got something like that going on, there is some situations where it's very time sensitive and you may need to go directly to the IRS or the tax advocate office, which is where we're going to see if we can get someone to help address this situation before they start doing liens, levies, seizures, and all the other nasty things that they put in their love letters to tell us about. So, but again, the IRS is there to be dealt with. You do not want to ignore the IRS. That's the one thing I want to point out is if you're getting love letters, if you've got tax issues, if you have a situation, you do not want to ignore them, because if you try to do that, then you have a situation where you're like, oh my gosh, I already told the IRS about, why are they still collecting? Why is this happening? You know, I have another one that came in last on Friday and she's been trying to get 2019 refund. And when we went through the documents, we found out that there might not be a refund for the year of 2019 because of the way the money was rolled from 2018, if 2018 doesn't have it. So it's not always black and white. And the IRS isn't going to send back something to you. It just says, well, you know, we didn't. In her letter, it says we're working on it. The next letter says, well, there's, you know, we're not refunding the money, but there's no explanation. Why are you not refunding? Why did you only give us this? What's the correction? We have, we wish there was a little bit more communication on that aspect so that they could tell us, why do we have this situation? Where is it going? But you know what? It's our job to make sure that we explain to the IRS, not the other way around, which kind of seems sort of silly, but it is true. The IRS is not there to make the explanation. It's going to be us explaining to the IRS why we think this is wrong. Document why it's wrong, figure out what the situation might be, and then take it from there. If you don't do that, the IRS is going to win the case no matter what, right? Because it's your job to prove that the IRS is incorrect. It's not the IRS's job to prove that they are correct. It's kind of like you're guilty before you're proven innocent. That's the way I look at it. Now, I'm not sure the IRS may feel a different way. And, you know, just the point of thing, when you deal with the IRS on the phone, remember you're dealing with a human being, not, and most of the time I have found that many of those that are, I don't want to say human because they are human beings, but they're only going by what they can see in a computer, and the computer, they only have so much access. So, you know, again, if you've been dealing with an issue for a period, the tax advocate office is the way to go. Seriously, they are great. The Tennessee Tax Advocate Office does an awesome job. We probably always have one or two cases with them, and 90% of the chance, one way or the other, they get it resolved. But sometimes it may come down to where we were wrong. The information we were provided to them didn't balance or match what the IRS showed. So therefore, they're sitting there going, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. We didn't have this, or that rollover didn't happen because of this reason, or they did a conversion and we didn't know about. All those come into play, right? So again, just really important to make sure you have good documentation to explain why you think you're in the right with the IRS. If you need help with that, you can always call the show right now, 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number here in the studio. And we're going to be taking another quick break, and then we can go to the phone lines or the email, which is friday@drfriday.com. If you just want to text or email something over real quick, you can do that. But we're going to take a break, and we get back, we're going to answer more of your questions, talk a little bit about maybe some of the things that you might want to consider before you send off your tax return, and making sure you've got all the documentation. Nothing worse than having to amend a tax return. For one, it could take the IRS almost 6 months longer to get you whatever your refund or whatever your situation is than it would be immediately. All right, we're going to be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. Live in studio, And if you want to join us, you can, 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number here in the studio. So if you've got questions or you want to just maybe give maybe something's come up and you've like, oh, wait, this would be good for people to know. Maybe something you've experienced. We have constantly have situations that we're all going through. Again, just got an email this morning, a 2020 tax return that we filed an amendment back in October of 2021. The IRS now is trying to do nasty grams, and we've been responding for 2 years on. So again, this will be a case that will be opened up with, you know, tax advocate, because it's the only way I can usually get somebody in the IRS to be able to help us do what we need to do. We've filed everything that we can file. But back at that time, I wasn't able to e-file amended returns. So it was done by mail. And according to the IRS, they did receive it. So we don't know why, and never do really understand why sometimes it just seems to go in circles. So if you have one of those situations and you need some help, we can help you do that. But we will, keep moving forward. Once you get a good person, they'll resolve the issue and everything will move forward. But until then, we have to deal with whatever. And collections, keep in mind, you could be talking to somebody on accounts and they could be doing everything they can to help resolve it. But yet collections could be sending you love letters saying that they're collecting. One hand does not communicate with the other hand. You get lucky, and sometimes the person handling the case will put a hold on the case until they get some sort of resolution. But that doesn't always happen. So whenever you're talking to a revenue officer and you're dealing with something like that, ask them to put a hold on the case. It's very important, because last thing you want is collections still thinking there's a case out there and you're trying to get resolution on the other hand. So, it's really important that you deal with each of these love letters that come in, because, you know, it's not always, and you could be dealing with something for years. It's not something that's just going to happen. Oh, wait, I just responded. That should take care of the problem. Sometimes they'll send you a letter saying they need another 45 days, another 60 days. And then after that, they send back saying, well, you know, we didn't like this amended return because you didn't respond to this part of it. But you don't understand what they're saying sometimes. I do taxes and for almost 28 years. And sometimes I look at the letters and say, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean? You know, this doesn't balance. It's specifically right here on the situation. So that being said, just making sure you have all your information. Again, documentation is the key to all these conversations. And then you have the ability to get resolution. So if you need help or if you know someone that does, right now, though, we're all concentrating on our 2023, or maybe you're even done with 23 and you're prepping or preparing for 24. We have of 2 years left. And so it's why it's so important that this election, no matter how you want to vote, just make sure it's going to go the direction, you know, tax code that we know today, the 12%, the 22, the 24 will expire at the end of 2025, unless otherwise told. So, you know, keep in mind that if you like the lower tax rates, maybe you're talking to someone or you're dealing with someone that you, you know, when you're looking at the candidates, are they going to be dealing with the issues you want to go with, whatever that is? I'm far from a politician. Really, what I want is just to basically be able to live my life, go with where you want to go and do what you want to do. But it's important that we keep taxes low so that people can actually keep some of their money. With inflation and higher taxes, that means even less money in our pockets to try to pay the bills, keep the mortgage, keep the water on, all that good stuff. So if you have questions concerning any of that, also individuals that are doing, again, business owners, do a ton of you guys. So just trying to put some thoughts in your head a little bit. Remember, you have your gross business receipts that are due now. I think basically the deadline is April 15th. And on those gross receipts, you have a situation where you may not owe anything but the renewal fee, which is the $22. If you have less than $3,000 or less than $100,000 in any one county or situation, then you can just click that button and it'll just automatically calculate the money. So, in some of my clients' cases, I could have somebody that has, you know, $1 million in sales, but they have, you know, 40 counties that they work in and they're licensed in, especially like contractors and things. So they may not owe any business tax in Tennessee, but they do have to file those to actually keep their permits. Auto sales, all of you have that same situation. So you just want to make sure that you have that going on. And so that way you don't have to worry about dealing with that issue. So either way, you got that happening, but make sure you file those and they're due now, guys. Just go out there and get them filed. All right, we got Linda has a tax question. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Dr. Friday. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Yes.
I was getting started early with my taxes, and every time things would come in, I was sticking them in a folder, and I'm putting in my 1099 INTs.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that two of them had my dad's name on them. They were his bank account. He mm-hmm. passed away in November of 22.
Okay. But yes. You may want to go back. For one, you're going to put it on yours because I'm assuming you received the interest. Obviously,
yeah.
Dad couldn't have. Second part with it is you might want to go back to those locations because somehow they didn't get the date of passing correct because 2022, he would have had interest from January to November or whatever. And then all of 23 would have been under you or his estate. Was it POD to you at the time of his passing, paid on death, or did it go to his trust or estate?
One of them, it paid to me. And then the other one, they could not find, there was a bunch of CDs and they mm-hmm. could not find the two of the CDs that he had done that. But so they.
But yet they sent you an interest?
They sent me checks and the interest was in the check. And so I was surprised by that.
Just for the paper trail purposes, you know, in all honesty, because the IRS may be looking at a deceased individual, they're going to see that come up under his Social Security number, which has already been turned off. So, you're going to do the right thing and put it on yours just because eventually it will circle around back to you, but it would be nice to have the form in the right name, just so you have the proper documents. Because in theory, the IRS has no idea you received that money, even though, you know, since you do know that you did receive it, then I would just contact them and say, you guys have this in the wrong, please reissue. You can move forward with filing your taxes because I'm assuming it would make no dollar difference, but I would try to get them to reissue them. It may be impossible. Sometimes some of those companies just will not correct something even when they're in the wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
okay.
It's not going to be your error because if it ever comes back, you've got on your tax return and you've done the right thing. But it would be perfect if they would just correct it.
Yeah. You know? Yes. So the one was definitely closed out in like April of 23. But the It's okay. I'm just going to put him on my taxes for right now, and I will contact them and try to get them to put my name on the 1099.
Right. As long as you, okay. I mean, let me clarify, Linda, you want to make sure you did receive that money, that they are just sending you something that you have no idea, because then I would hold off and make sure, because you said they couldn't find some of the CDs, but you know, they may turn around and 1099 you for something you didn't receive, or, you know, they sent it to your father theoretically, but, so just double check. But as long as you know you physically received or the estate received, hopefully through you, that information, then go ahead and put it on your return and get it corrected if you can, like I said. But if you don't think you received the money, do not put that on your return because they need to correct whatever they do. You know, I don't want you paying taxes on money you never received.
Right. I know I did receive it. The total of the interest was under $200.
Okay, so we're not looking at a huge effect. And as long as you know you received it, then yeah, there's nothing wrong with putting it on your return just the way you should. But just wanted to make sure that you weren't, you know, just picking up interest that went to the estate or something.
Yes, thank you. I am happy to just put it on mine and not have to file for him. Thank
you. No. They won't accept a return in the next year. I mean, sometimes we do, but they could send it back. I've had issues with that in the year after. Sometimes people will die in December, and obviously things go into the new year, but it's more work than you think. So just put it under you and don't bring back that tax return would be my 2 cents.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks. Appreciate you. All right. That was a great question. And again, even though in Linda's case it's not, but sometimes we have estates or trust and the money might have went into those, but they should never have in the new year, there should never have been a 1099 under a deceased individual, unless it happened where maybe they sent something in December and it actually didn't pass through or didn't get posted till January. Sometimes I've had that, but if you passed away in November, there should not have been anything issued to the deceased individual in January or February or whatever, April of the next year, because the inherited individual should have gotten it, in which this company is completely wrong, but you don't want to hold up your taxes sometimes too. And even with death certificates and power of attorney, I've had a challenge getting some of those organizations to be willing to correct themselves because it's more work, I guess, than it's supposed to be. All right, we're going to take our last break here. So if you've been holding your breath and you're not too sure what you want to do, or you're just confused, or you're like, oh man, I really like to know the answer, but I don't know if I want to call a radio. I totally understand. But if you do want to join us, 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986, number here in the studio, and we're going to be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. Coming at you live. All righty, guys, we're at the last part of the show, so if you want to join the show, now would be the time, 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986, taking your calls, talking about my favorite subject, at least taxes. It is that season, guys. We have about, I don't know, less than 3 weeks before you either need to file an extension or get your taxes filed. It's going to be crazy ride here. We have a very tight schedule and it just seems like days are flying by. But make sure that if you cannot finish your tax return, I'm going to start telling you now, you need to file an extension. Also, you need to be dealing with business owners. Again, annual reports, gross business receipts, F&E, all of those are required now pretty much. Just get it done. Pay the fee, get it done. And that way you don't have to worry about getting things reinstated, dealing with other problems when you're busy and just trying to get other things done. You know, I mean, it's just hard. So you just want to make sure that when you're dealing with your tax issue, do your very best. Make sure if you have questions, you know, find someone that you can ask the question. Don't just guess. And probably one of the emails that came in, and I get this question a ton. One of the biggest questions comes in. It just says, can I file single head of household or married filing separately? What's my choices? And you do need to consult with a tax person. It's very important because if you make the wrong choice, one of the biggest reasons people want head of household is because they get a much better tax deduction. And that is not always going to be the number one situation. All right, Vegas, let's see if we can get James on the line. Hey, James, what can I do for you?
Hey, Dr. Friday, thanks for taking my call. But we spoke one time before on the phone. I called your office, actually, and you were very gracious to talk to me. I have a question. This concerns my wife. She has sort of like a joint savings account at a bank, and it was opened with her and her mother's name on it. And I didn't really know, like, about statements. I was never given like a 1099 or anything in the past. It's been about 5 years since she's been a permanent resident of the United States. She moved here from Mexico, and I think the origin of the account is. Can I say what bank it is? I don't know, but I think it's in Mexico, but it's got some money in it. Her interest earned on it was about $750 or so, and for the year. And I'm curious, like, since it was sent to her, to our address, with her name on it and her mother's name, how do we handle that? I mean, because she's a W-2 employee. Like, so how do we deal with that?
You've got two things you need to deal with. One would be whoever's name or social security number is on that statement is the person that needs to be claiming it, unless she wants the 1099 interest to the other person, which means you'd have to issue that. And it's a lot harder than you think. So if her name is first, your wife's name is first on the paper, it's most likely that's who they have listed as the person that's responsible. Second, we also have what's called FBAR, your financial. And if there's more than $10,000 in the conversion in this account, and this account was opened overseas, now it may have been relocated here to the United States, so I don't know this, but anyone that does have a bank account overseas, it has more than $10,000 in any one day, has to file an FBAR. And that is due pretty quickly here. Most of the time we file them with the tax return, but there is a FBAR site you can go to and file it separately. That being said, so James, you need to look at the statement and first find out if your wife or her mother's name is, or the social security number is on it. If it's your wife's, I mean, you haven't received love letters. So I'm going to assume in the past, at least, this hasn't become an issue as far as underreporting. You know, and then I'd be more concerned with FBAR, because if you don't file FBAR, they can take 50% of the money in that bank as a penalty. It's a very drastic penalty. So you might want to talk to a tax person if you're not sure, but it's important to first find out if mom's responsible for this or your wife. That would be the first question. And then from there, making sure that it's being handled properly in the United States, since they have relocated here and now are living here in the United States.
I think the account was originally opened sort of as a nest egg or some kind of an endowment about 10 years ago, and it was like $40,000, but it's grown to about $45,000, you know, over the years.
Right.
So, yeah.
So the biggest question is, has it been relocated here to the United States if they're all living here, or if was it open? Even if they lived over in Mexico, was it open in the United States? Then you don't have to worry about FBAR. If it was open in Mexico or someplace else, in even though it's a national bank, theoretically, then that bank, wherever it was open, is now not on U.S. soil. And we have to talk about that on a tax return under FBAR. We have to tell them about it. So either mom or daughter, someone needs to be get the answer to that first. Was it actually opened in a U.S. bank account, even though they lived overseas, possibly, or in Mexico, whatever? Or was it opened in Mexico, transferred to a U.S. bank? Or is it actually still on a foreign bank that they can access through a U.S. bank? I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but it's kind of important, James, to get to the bottom line of that.
Yeah, I think Wells Fargo operates in Mexico, her mother lives in Mexico City. So it could be that it's just been sort of maybe the information's being sent to the U.S. address. But
and if this is mom's money in a foreign bank and mom is a foreign citizen, then that's a whole different conversation. She doesn't have to file in the U.S. But if somehow the daughter, the now wife living here in the United States, it's in her name, that opens FBAR. And even if she considers it's mom, if she's got her name on that account, we have to do FBAR no matter what.
Okay, I'm going to look into that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call. Thanks, James. All right, really quick, let's see if we can hit Tom in Nashville. We got about 3 minutes. Talk fast, Tom.
I think I can do that. The company I worked for last year folded up in November. Somehow my exemptions got filed married to dependents. I did not see it. I ended up owing $4,500 to IRS. I have $2,500 saved. And, of course, I draw full Social Security because I can at my age, but I don't pay any taxes on it. So my question would be, is it better to file an extension and get the money together or send them $2,500 and hope that I can accomplish the other $2,300 or whatever it is between now and the end of the year? And how long before they say, oh, you got to go on payment?
Well, bottom line is your best bet would be to file the taxes, pay what you can pay, and then maybe even set aside, maybe not pay all 25, maybe pay 1500, set up a bank account and set a payment plan where they can auto draft it. It gives you 5 years to pay it off. And that would just be a horrible little payment. And you don't have to worry. You could always pay it faster. Okay. You can always throw more money at it as you go, Tom. You don't have to wait and make the payments, but I'm just saying that way they don't come after you. Because without a payment plan, they can come back and take money out of your bank and anything else.
Well, that's what I wanted, because I can probably come up with $1,000, say in 90 days, and the rest of it another 90 days. That puts me in.
You could probably get away
year.
With that if you actually did, but they only really give you a window of 90 days. But theoretically, if you can send them 25, it's going to take them 30 or 40 days to get you the next love letter. If you throw another $1,000 at them, it doesn't mean they won't stop collections, but you'll be at a lower dollar amount. Worst scenario is you say, call them and say, hey, in 90 days, I'll have another $1,000. They may put a hold on it and just get it paid in full.
There is a fee for setting up payments, but it's not real high, right?
Correct. And if you do it online, I think the fee's like $30. I mean, it's pretty minimal.
Okay. Well, I like that idea. I like the idea of putting the money, it'll draw a little interest on it too.
Right.
Not much, but at least I can just add to it. And then if I get enough by the end of the year, just pay it off.
You got it. I'm not going to say theoretically it's best to pay it as fast as possible, less penalties, less interest, but just go for it and take it from there. But you've got the right idea.
All right, that sounds like a plan. Thank you, then.
Okay, no problem. Thanks, bud.
All
right, we're down to the last minute here, so let's talk about what you can do as far as going on the website. You can look up drfriday.com, drfriday.com, if you want to find out who I am. If you want to reach us at our office, I will tell you we're running a little slow on the phones, but 615-367-0819. 615-367-0819. You can also email friday@drfriday.com. Friday@drfriday. Lots of Friday in that .com. Friday is my first name for all of you that may just tuned in and you're like, who in the heck is this Friday? What is she talking about? Yes, that is my first name. My parents were a bit fun loving, and there you go. They decided to make their eighth child's name Friday. So that makes it a pretty cool name now that I'm an adult. But if you've got tax questions, you need help, you want to deal with some issues, I mean, at this point, I will tell you, we're not taking in any new clients. We can help with extensions, and then we can probably get you in after the initial tax season. But you know, if you need to file your taxes now, we will not be able to fit you into our schedule unless you already are on the schedule for our taxes. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. As we always say in Australia, call you later.